We're all in training, aren't we? Are you being trained in righteousness? Well, we need to be trained in righteousness because it just doesn't come naturally, does it? So we need to be trained in the way that is right before the Lord. So that is why we need the Word of God. Are you excited about this? Hallelujah. It is awesome. It is amazing what God is able to do in a yielded person's life. And you and I are experiencing the working of God and the move of God. Well, it is July. Hallelujah. You've made it this far. Hallelujah. Well, thank God, right? Hallelujah. And it's been going by pretty quick, that is for sure. And we are in our summer theme, which begins today, which is the appointed. Appointed of God. And we are appointed of God. And God has appointed us for such a time as this. Do you realize it's not an accident that you're living in this season of world history, that you are alive today? It is by godly design. God has given you life. He could have caused us to be alive in a different time period in history. Could you imagine any time in the past? You know, I'm happy I wasn't born any time sooner than I was. Right? Are you grateful that you were alive in this day and age? Right? And who knows what the future is behold? So it's good to be alive right now, isn't that right? You know, you settle. Look, Lord, we're thankful. None of this is by accident. It's by design. God has appointed you to live at this day in this age. And that means he had a reason and a purpose for us being alive, for us being us. No one will be you in the history of all of humanity. There will not be a you again. And there was never a you in the past. There may have been people who were like you, but there was no one who was you. You understand what I'm saying? So we are unique. We're created individually to be the people that God has called us to be. Don't be down on who you are. Just align yourself with the ways of God. And once we align ourselves with the ways of God, then our lives will change. Our life experience will change. Our job is to see things according to the way God sees things, to align our vision with the vision of God, with the ways of God. And that is why we cultivate a relationship with God. And God causes us to be ready so that we can represent him as we go through life. And so that brings us to our monthly theme, which is suit up. Suit up. Well, there is nothing more important than having the right clothing for the situation. Isn't that right? Does anybody go to a wedding in jeans and a t-shirt? No. No, if they did, you would kind of say, what's wrong with them? Isn't that right? Right? No, nobody does that. So there are specific occasions that have an attire that's attached to it. And depending on what you're planning to do, you put on the appropriate attire. You suit up accordingly. If I'm going to dig a hole in my backyard to do construction work, I'm not going to wear a suit and a tie. Isn't that right? No. No. If I did, then you would ask the question, what's wrong with you? Right? Yeah, what's wrong with you? Right. And so we need to be suited for the occasion, suited for the situation. And in the Word of God, we see this over and over again, and different examples throughout the history and even the parables that Jesus had laid out. One who went to a wedding feast, and they didn't have the proper attire. And then God was able to deal with the situation accordingly, because your attire attests to your mentality. The way you dress is a reflection of the way you think. And so when you see yourself from God's perspective, you align yourself or you suit yourself up so that you can rightly reflect the right mindset, the right mentality. And we know in the world, if you want to be taken seriously, you have to dress appropriately. And so we have to make sure that we're properly suited up. And that's what God is calling us to do. And so today, as we begin our new theme, I would just like to, I have Pastor Raphael, I asked him to suit up, and so he could be, we could be ready for this. Is Pastor Raphael, are you here today somewhere? Are you getting suited up?
Yep.
Uh-oh.
All right, I'm ready. Got my baby blues.
No, you don't understand. I asked you to suit up. I meant like to suit up, like a suit. Like, not a swimsuit.
Bathing suit?
Not a bathing suit. We're not going suit swimming. Up? We're not going. Yeah, but you see the picture.
What is July?
Oh, people don't wear suits in July? Wait.
But I was already in a suit, and you told me suit up. So I just thought we were going to the pool.
You see the problem here? All right, here.
So we're not going.
No. Thank you. Go suit up. Maybe I'll take you to the pool later.
Okay.
If you behave. Hallelujah. So we have to wear what's appropriate for the situation, and we have to be suited for the occasion. And as Pastor Raphael demonstrated here, we can't get confused about who we are and where we're going as we go through life. And the Word of God has given us a suit to wear. He has given us the right and the appropriate suit. And that is critical for us if we are going to be the people of God. We have to suit up, and we have to do the things that God has called us to do so that the will of God can be accomplished. And so the question is, does your suit fit the occasion? Does your suit fit the occasion? Are you wearing what you should be wearing as an ambassador of Christ, as a representative of the kingdom of God? The Word of God has given us the very suit that we need to be wearing so that we can be effective at representing the kingdom of God. And in Ezekiel 9:11, our lead verse for today, it says, "Then behold the man clothed in linen at whose loins was the writing case reported, saying, I have done just as you have commanded me." And so this a man clothed in linen is wearing a suit of righteousness. It is the suit of righteousness that God has given us through Christ so that we would be able to say, Lord, I have done just as you have commanded me. And one day when we stand before the Lord, we want to be able to say, Lord, I have done just as you have commanded me. And we ought to be able to say that each and every day. Every day when you get home in the evening, as you prepare for bed, you ought to be able to say, Lord, I have done just as you have commanded me. Have we done what God has called us to do? Are we living the way God has called us to live? Our theme for today is clothed in linen. God wants us to be like the man clothed in linen. Well, are you ready for the word of the Lord today? Hallelujah. Well, let's pray. Lord, we are so thankful for your word. And we just ask, God, that you would help us to be the people that you've called us to be, that we would be clothed in linen, that we would be a people who are living our lives according to the way of God, that we would align ourselves, guard ourselves against the mindset of the culture, and not allow the ways of the world to influence our thinking or to cause us to misrepresent God or to miss God altogether as God's appointed. You have appointed us for such a time as this to be your representatives, to be your ambassadors, to be those who remind those who are in the world and in this life that are connected with our way of life and our influential relationships that we have, that we would be those who represent the kingdom of God, that we would be clothed in linen, that we would be suited rightly and appropriately to represent the kingdom of God. Let your word, O God, be ministered to our hearts. Give us understanding and vision, and help us to be reminded of the thoughts and the things that you have called us to do and to be, that we might follow through and accomplish the will of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, you and I are appointed for such a time as this. And it's no accident that we're living in 2022 and that we are in the positions that we are, that we live where we live, and that we are engaged in the various things that we're engaged in. It's not an accident. It's actually by divine design. It is God who ordered your steps that caused you to be in these places. God enabled you so that you could be his representative in the places that you go. Even the people that you're related to and you interact with or connected with or friends with or work with, they're all part of God's design, God's plan, so that you can influence them for the sake of the kingdom of God. And so that is why we need to be appropriately dressed for the occasion of being God's ambassador, that we need to be clothed in linen as we see in the word of God. And so as those who are appointed of God, it means that God decided ahead of time and he designated in the past who and what we were to be in the future, or in this timeline that we live and that we alive, that we're alive. God, he scheduled us for life. We're a part of a divine schedule. That means your life begins and ends according to a schedule that God has established. You're established and arranged by God. Things have been decided and preset, predetermined. The Lord is already working things out in your life. God has called you for such a time as this. You're a chosen people, the word of God says. And God has set you as a light on a hill. And God has established us, and he has allotted us and designated us to be in the positions that we are. He's resourced us so that we can have all that we need as ambassadors of Christ and of God to live godly as godly ambassadors in this life and in this world. You are chosen by God. You're appointed by God. Do not underestimate who you are in Christ and how much you mean to God, and the fact that God is working in the midst of your life. And the next aspect of what God is doing, and he is equipping you. And that is why you become a part of this church, because it is our responsibility to equip the saints of God, to equip the people of God. It's part of our church purpose statement and our mission statement, that we are to win, build, and equip the saints of God for kingdom effectiveness. And that is what you and I are experiencing. That is what our church is all about. We're not just having services. I'm not just preaching sermons. And we're not just having Bible study classes. But there is a purpose behind it. There is a plan behind it. And the idea is to equip the people of God so that they can be built up in the righteousness of the Lord, in the right mindset, to have a kingdom mindset, so that when you go out into the world, you can make a stand for the sake of the kingdom of God, and you can be empowered by the Spirit of God to be the witness that God has called you to be, so that you can make disciples. Each and every one of us is charged with making disciples. We need to first begin at home, right? Your first discipleship class is your children, right? That's your first Bible study class. That's your first discipleship class. You do it at home. Your home is your first place where you get to practice. You practice at home, and if you can get your own kids under control and have them in a place where they're following the ways of the Lord and the will of God, you're off to a good start. Now God can use you even greater and in greater ways. And the design plan of God is that it would begin at home and it overflows into the world. That's why he said, go start in Jerusalem, then Judea, then Samaria, and then to the uttermost parts of the earth. It's so that we're all putting this into practice, and ultimately we're able to do it at work. We're able to encourage people and motivate people in the ways of the Lord. We're able to help people draw closer to God in strategic ways, and the Spirit of God will give you witty ideas and ways to speak into people's lives. He will bring people to you and bring them into fellowship or relationship with you, even through some secular mechanism that will give you an opportunity to be the ambassador of Christ he's called you to be. All this is part of the equipping process. God is equipping us. He's helping us so that we will know which way we are to go, so that we will know how to manage and handle our situations. God furnishes us, and he outfits us, and he enables us. He rigs us up so that we are designed by nature, by the very moving of the Spirit of God within us, to be able to do the things that God has called us to do. He's given us Jesus as a model and as an example. And all of the disciples and their different personalities and all of their different weaknesses and shortcomings and all their ways to demonstrate that we all have weaknesses and shortcomings and challenges and issues in our life. And yet God still can use us. God still wants to use us. He still called us despite knowing all of our weakness and all of our shortcomings. It's not like God says, oh, you sinned. Oh, I'm done. What am I going to do now? No, God says, I knew that you were going to do that. Get up. I've made provision so that you can rise again, so that you can rise up and renew your relationship with me, so you can be restored in the ways of God, so that you can move forward in the kingdom of God. You and I are appointed. That's what it means to be appointed of God. And we see this in the life of Ezekiel, who was born during, not born, but he lived during the captivity of Israel when Nebuchadnezzar, you remember Nebuchadnezzar, and you remember Daniel and Jeremiah, we've talked about them, 850 years after Moses gave the law. And this is important to hold on to and to think about, because it will help you understand why Israel had so many problems. And Israel was challenged, and you know, we read through the Bible, we can read through in a year. Some people read through in 6 months, right? Or some people can do it faster than that. But we go through the Bible and reread it as if it all happened like one day after the next, or 1 year after the next. And we're looking at it going, well, goodness, what's wrong with those people? Don't they know that didn't God just do this? And didn't God just say that? And didn't this just happen? Well, it just happened for us because we're reading it in a book all in one sitting. But for them, it was over a period of years. And I think a lot of times we forget how much time elapses between God events and these things that take place in our life. So the time period between the time the Israelites went into the promised land from the Jordan, crossing over the Jordan, to the time of Ezekiel was about 850 years. That's a long time. And over 850 years, people tend to forget. People tend to forget the things of God, the ways of God. And how it happens is the culture around them becomes the priority in their life. And they begin to think the way the world thinks. They're reading the news and they're watching all of the events that are taking place around them back in those days, and they're looking at all the things, they're hearing all the stories, and they're getting caught up in the moment and the ways of the culture that's around them. And that is exactly what God warned the people about, isn't it? When Moses was given his charge, and when Joshua gave their charge before the people went into the promised land, what was the number one message that was at the quintessential point of what was being said and taught? Is God was saying, be careful that you do not become like the cultures around you. Don't let those other cultures influence you and cause you to forsake the Lord. God was warning them that the world around them, the cultures around them, are going to cause them to forsake the Lord. In fact, God said, I know it's going to happen. So it wasn't like God didn't know. The reason he was so emphatic about it is because he knew that they were going to find themselves in this terrible condition. And so he was begging them. He was warning them. He did everything he could to remind the people to beware. Don't let the Jebusites, the Girgashites, the Hittites, all these ites that are going on, don't let those people influence you. When you get into the promised land, remember the words of the Lord. And the people said, we will. Isn't that right? They said, we will. And guess what? They did. They did remember. But years later, their children and their children's children and their children's 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 children children's children's children. They forgot. Why? Because over time, people stop going to serve the Lord on the day, on the Sabbath day, when they would hear the word of God being taught from sunup to sundown. The law of Moses was reminded. Over time, that stopped happening. And so there was no remembrance, no reminder of what the word of God says. And that is a lesson for us, because whenever we forget to read the word of God or to reflect on the word of God, we will stray from it. It is natural because of the condition of our flesh. Our flesh, our human body is in a sinful state, in a sinful condition. And it's so easy. How many people say, well, I'm too tired today? You ever hear people say that? I'm just too tired. Oh, you know, I just can't do it. Oh, I can't. Oh, you know, oh, my back. Oh, my neck, my aching leg. Oh, my knee. Oh, my hip. Oh, I can't. Oh, no, I'm too much. And we make all types of excuses when it comes to the things of God. You see, when it's time to make money, we're like, oh, I got to go. I got to get up. Oh, I have to press my way. Oh, I've got to make sure that I only have a certain amount of days off. Oh, I got to make sure I do. We're very careful to follow the rules. We want to stay in line, and we want to make sure that we're able to reap all the money that we're entitled to get. We don't want to lose our money-making opportunity. It's become a god in our lives. And this is part of the mentality of the culture around us. And so we're setting the ways of the flesh high above the call of God. And we forget that we need the word of God. That's why the word of God says meditate on it day and night. Every day we're to reflect on the word of God. We think about the word of God. We pray about the word of God. People are so spun around that they pray without the word of God. How do you even know how to pray without the word of God? You cannot pray without the word. The word always goes before prayer. The word of God goes first. Prayer is what follows. Otherwise, we don't know how to pray. We don't know what to pray. We're not engaged in the mentality or the thought processes of God. So we always begin with the word of God. And we're reminded of the word of God. We remind ourselves of the word of God. Sometimes we don't know. We just say, Lord, well, just open the word of God and let God lead you to some place. And just read something. And God will. You know, we have the app, right? You'll go into the church app, you go into the Bible, we have a daily plan. There's a little thing segment that says plan. You hit on plan and you can follow through the word of God, and you can listen to the passages for each day. And you can just think about that. And when we think about those passages for each day, it helps us to remember the Lord as we go through the day. And we can think about the word of God. And this is what Ezekiel was doing for the people. He was reminding them of what God says. That's what Daniel did. That's what Jeremiah did. You remember Jeremiah was weeping. And when the Chaldeans came in and the Syrians, right? Pastor Dave was here last week and he was talking about how ruthless these people were. And it was pretty much the same things that we have been talking about when we talked about Jeremiah back in the beginning of the year. And we were talking about how these ruthless people came in. And the Israelites were becoming like the Chaldeans in their ruthlessness. They were becoming like the Assyrian people, like the Babylonians. They were becoming like these people. Do you remember when we talked about that? I can't see it because of the lights, but I don't hear anything, so I figure, I look, I'm like, did everybody leave? And so we know that God is reminding his people. That is what we are to do. The biggest sin that we could ever commit is to forget the Lord, forget what the Lord said, to disobey the word of God just through forgetting. That's a terrible thing. Oh, how many of us have had children and we tell them don't do something and we tell them to do something, or they come back and they didn't do it, or they did something else, and you say, well, why didn't I tell you? Right? How many times have you heard parents, right? Don't parents say that's a famous line? Like, you don't even have to, like, go to school to learn that. You know, all parents have that lesson. Didn't I tell you? Didn't I tell you? You hear it in everybody's house. And that's a lesson that we learned. So God is saying, didn't I tell you? And we've got to be reminded. We need to be reminded. Otherwise, we will forget. And we'll say, oh, I forgot. Oh, I couldn't remember. Why? Because we're in a fallen world. And Satan's job is to snatch the seed of righteousness from your heart, from your mind. Whenever there's something that needs to be done that's right or of God, the devil will come to try to steal it. That is what the word of God talks about when he says the sower sows the seed and some falls on rocky ground, right? And it's not able to, and some that there's the Satan comes and he snatches up the very thing that God is sowing into your life. And we have to be careful that we're not allowing the enemy to rob us of what God is sowing into our lives. We have to hold on and we have to remember what the word of the Lord is saying, so that we can return to a right relationship with God. Every day, his mercies are new. And every day, we have an opportunity to align ourselves again. You know, yesterday, okay, Lord, I missed yesterday. All right, I didn't read the word at all yesterday. God forgive me. Let me get in double time today. Hallelujah, right? In the app, they give you Thursday as makeup day. You can make up for all the days that you said, oh, Lord, forgive me, I'm behind. So every Thursday, you get a makeup day, right? And so you get to come back. So I know I've used that myself. That's like a catch-up for free card. It's like, oh, hallelujah. I gotta, is it really that many days I missed? Let me play catch-up. Sometimes I'm days behind. It's like today. I'm behind from today. Today, I didn't, Lord, I'll catch up tomorrow. Hallelujah. I'll catch up tomorrow. I'll do two tomorrow. I just realized I'm behind further than I thought I'm, but I'm saying I'm behind. Anyway, so God gives us makeup days, hallelujah, and we're gracious for it, right? We're thankful that every day we get the mercy of God is made new every morning. And so in Ezekiel 8, we see this story about Ezekiel. Now, Ezekiel is a powerful book because it's this prophetic book that shares about this vision that Ezekiel had, that God was showing him what was happening in the spirit. And in verse 1, it begins by saying, it came about in the sixth year on the fifth day of the sixth month, as I was sitting in my house with the elders of Judah, sitting before me, that the hand of the Lord God fell on me there. I love this because, man, this guy remembers when God impacted him. And I'm sure you remember when the Spirit of God impacts you. When the Spirit of God comes over you in your life, when God shows up powerfully in your life, we remember those moments. And God wants us to remember those moments. That's why throughout Israel's history, he said, build a monument. And they would pile up a pile of rocks of remembrance so that people would remember. Every time they would pass by, they remember God did a powerful work in that place. And you and I have to have these little places where of testimony in our life that we're constantly be able to be reminded of the fact that God has done something in my life. You are a new creation in Christ. You ought to remember the day when the Lord gave you a revelation of himself and how he changed your life. You ought to remember when God does things in your life. And if you can't remember them in your mind, in your head, write them down. Write them down in a book, in a journal. People write things down. And it's so important to be able to go back so that you can remember to think about what God has called you to do. You and I are called to remember the day. He said, I remember the year, I remember the day, and he remembered the month. He knew exactly when it happened, exactly what time it was that this thing took place. Remembering when God has done something in your life is so important. And we need to surround ourselves with people who can remind us of who we are in Christ. That the hand of the Lord God would fall on you. Oh, I remember when the Spirit of God fell on me. I remember that the Spirit of the Lord has come over my life. He changed my heart. He renewed my life and my mind. He did something in me, and he did something in my heart. He touched my heart in a way that made me change, and I just don't want to go back. I can't even go back, even if I want to. There have been times when I was like, well, maybe this is all nonsense. Maybe I'm just, it's all just in my own head. Maybe I'm just doing this all myself. And the Spirit of the Lord shook me and said, snap out of it, you nut. What's the matter with you, crazy man? You are changed. And I realized, it's too real. The Spirit of God was there. I was like, yo, he's real, he's real. Okay, God, okay, okay. Hallelujah. Whenever you start talking crazy, the Spirit of God, he will wake you up. He will do something to show you that you, man, you're going off your rocker, man. You can't deny me. I'm too much a part of your life. I'm too much a part of who you are and what happened. You can't change the fact that you're changed. Now you can't go back. You turn around, you're like, yeah, I'm going back into the world. Forget it, man. This is crazy. I'm just going back into the world. Man, you start going that way, and all of a sudden the Spirit of the Lord grabs you. He's like, wait a minute, you're not going anywhere. You're going right back. He says, just turn around. Next thing you know, you're like, okay, God, forgive me. I'm so sorry. God, over me. I'm so stupid. Help me. And you just surrender yourself to God. And that's what God does when you belong to him. In verse 2, it says, then I looked, and behold, a likeness as the appearance of a man from his loins and downward, from his waist and downward. There was an appearance of fire. So it was like fire burning. He didn't have, not legs, and it was fire. And then it says, from his loins and up, it was the appearance of brightness. It was just bright, like the appearance of glowing metal. So there's this illuminating light, and then there's fire. And it's just this vision of this man. And he's saying that it's this likeness of a man. So he realizes it's like the shape of a person, but fire and brightness that's like glowing metal, and it's just beaming. And it says he stretched out from the form of a hand, and he caught me by the lock of my head. He grabbed him by the hair. Well, I can't do it to myself. But he grabbed him by the back of his head, and it says that he in the spirit he lifted him up between earth and heaven. Good Lord. Could you imagine? You think he was going, praise the Lord, I'm blessed. Look, I'm having a breath. The Lord is good. No, this thing grabbed you by the back of your hair. Can you imagine somebody picking you up by the back of your hair, the lop of your hair? And he'd been picking you up and raising you up between heaven and earth. How high is that? How high is that? You know, is there even air up there? And so here he is. And he's got this vision. It says he brought me in the visions of God to Jerusalem. So he was enabling him to see. This is a picture of God giving him a heavenly perspective. A perspective from the vantage point of God looking down upon what was taking place in and amongst the Israelites, in their life. And I would submit to you that God wants to give us a heavenly perspective. God wants to give us a perspective that comes from him, that the same vantage point that he has is what he wants to reveal to his people as we go through life. That we are not just going through life ignorantly and just blindly, but we are actually going through life with the perspective of God as God reveals things to us. God raises us up. He will pick you up by the back of your head. Hallelujah. Goodness. I could just see him like, how do you even see? Because with somebody holding your head up. I was thinking about using that as an example, but I couldn't find somebody who was willing to let me grab them by the back of their head. I could have hooked up some. We could have cranked them up and pulled them, but I couldn't get no volunteers for that. I was saying, well, tell me who you see while I'm pulling you up with your hair. You know, you don't see anything except, I'm going to see you knocked out. That's what I'm going to see, right? Right? So there he is. He's seeing visions of Jerusalem. I'm sure he was seeing all kinds of visions, you know, after seeing legs of fire and a glowing metal body of a man, and then he grabs you by the back and lifts you up, and there he is, and he sees, it says that he sees what this vision of God to Jerusalem, that the entrance of the north gate and of the inner court, where the seat of the idol of jealousy, which provokes to jealousy, was located. In other words, instead of the altar of the Lord being there, there was this idol of jealousy that was established in this place, that was in this court across from where the altar of the Lord was supposed to be. And so there he's showing him, this thing does not belong in the house of the Lord. Well, there shouldn't be any idols in the house of the Lord. And he goes on in verse 4, he says, behold, the glory of the God of Israel was there, and like the appearance which I saw in the plain. So in other words, God's glory was radiating in that place. And his glory was radiating in that space. And that is to demonstrate to us that God will always reveal to us what it is that he is about to do. He always gives us direction, and he gives us advance warning. And God always lets us know. The devil can't do anything and sneak up on the people of God, because God will show you what you need to see so that you can make yourself ready, so that you can be prepared when the enemy comes. Because when the enemy comes in, he comes in like a flood, the word of God says, and that God will raise up a standard against him. Well, you can't raise up a standard if you never see him coming. So that shows that God will enable you to see. The devil has no ability to sneak up on you unless you are not connecting with God. Once you're disconnected from God, once you're not connecting with him, then you're not going to be able to see. So God has to do something to get your attention. And God got Ezekiel's attention. He gave him this vision of this spiritual being, like was like a man with fire legs and a upper body of steel, glowing metal that was so bright that you could hardly even look upon it. And yet it grabs him and lifts him up. And God will get your attention. God will get a hold of you in whatever way he needs to when you belong to God. When you belong to the Lord will keep you. In fact, that's why Jesus said, all that the Father has given me, I have lost none. Oh, saints of God, you and I can trust that God always keeps up his end of the bargain. Even when we fall short, God will still uphold his promise. And this is what is happening in the life of the Israelites. They failed to hold on to the promise of God. And God said, I told you, if you don't stand true to my word, if you don't resist becoming like those nations around you, then judgment will come upon your life. You will find yourself suffering because you are the people of God and your enemy is Satan. And those who are following the ways of the evil one will ultimately come after you simply because of who you are as the people of God. And so if you become like them, you will find yourself thinking that your friends are your friends when they actually are your enemies. And the very people that you're trying to fit in to be like or to find comfort with will be the very ones that bring you destruction and bring you hardship and difficulty. And so God says, I want you to be aware. And he gives us direction and advanced warning. In verse 1 of Ezekiel 9, it says, then he cried out in my hearing with a loud voice, saying, draw near, executioners of the city, each with his destroying weapon in his hand. And so here in chapter 9, we see that there is a shift. God is showing Ezekiel what is going on, how the Israelites were in this terrible place. They had adapted the mentality of those people that were around them, the Assyrians and the Babylonians and all of these groups that have risen up, these nations that have risen up. That is the picture of the Jebusites, the Girgashites, the Hittites, the Ammonites. All of these people groups are in this mass of people in this nation. It's just hundreds of years later. It's 800 years later, and people have been straying away from God, adapting more and more secular ways and mentalities in their life. And as a result, they've drifted further and further away from God and became more and more like their oppressors, like the people around them. And finally, the Israelites were doing the same things that the Babylonians were doing, the Assyrians were doing. They were treating each other in the same way. They had the same mentality. And there was this whole culture that had overtaken the ways of God and the culture of Israel. And so God is revealing what has taken place to Ezekiel. He's saying, this is what's happened. This is what's going on. And now judgment is coming. Because they have resisted God for so long. They have renounced God for so long. They turned their backs on God for so long that finally God is saying, I have to do something. And so God says, I have got to shake this thing loose so that I can redeem my people. And so what God then does is he shows Ezekiel this vision of what is going to happen. He's showing him in the spirit what is going to happen in the natural. And so these executioners are going with destroying weapons in their hand. I don't know about you, but whenever I interact with God and God shows me a vision, I don't want to see anything with destroying weapons. I don't want to see anything that looks like there's going to be judgment or fire. You know, one time we had a theme for the summer, the fire of God. You know, we were thinking, yes, the Spirit of the Lord and the fire, the move of God. No, it was the fire of trial and tribulation and chastisement. And well, we went through all kinds of challenges and difficulties and hardship. And we learned how to cry out to God and call on God. Man, the fire, boy, we are being tried by fire. Right? We sang that song today, I Want to Be Tried. I always pause when I say that. I'm like, Lord, I don't know. I want how to be tried by fire, you know. You know, I'd like to be tried by cool breeze. Like, you know, is there some way I could get that? You know, I don't mind a little fire to warm something, cook some marshmallow. But woo, I don't want that test. I don't be tempered by fire. Woo, you know, it always makes me think about that. And I was always reminded about that time. And I'm like, oh Lord God, yes. I sing that with great reverence when I come to those words. Oh, oh, oh. Yes, it reminds. I'm sorry, I'm getting to a place, but it's so real to me. And I tell you, this is what's happening in Ezekiel 9. Now this challenge is coming. Now there is this whole rising up of God. He says, I can't allow these people to continue on for another generation, losing out on the provision of God. And everyone knew these are the people that God brought out of the wilderness, that he gave them the land. These are the people whose God fights for them. And God had called them to be the witness and the ambassadors of to the world, so the world would see and be jealous. God wanted to make the world jealous. That was the whole idea of him blessing Israel and the people of God, so that the world would say, oh, I want the blessing of Israel. Let's serve the God of Israel because God is so awesome. Look how he's covered them, how he's blessed them, how he fights for them, how he makes a way for them. But now they have lost their glory. They have lost the shine of the light of God. They have lost the reflection of God in their lives because they have adapted the ways of the heathen, the Babylonian, the Assyrian. And you and I must be careful that we do not allow it to happen to us, that we do not find ourselves adapting to the mentality of this current society, this current worldview and way of life and thinking. We must hold true to the word of God. There's this whole movement to try to disqualify the church and to bring the people of God down so that we are no longer being able to influence the world. The world has been overwhelmed by the spirits of darkness, and God has called his people to shine as the light of Christ and of God. You and I are the light of the world. That's what Jesus said. Even as the Father sent him, he's sending us. You and I need to be clothed in linen. We need to be clothed in the righteousness of God. And so verse 2 says, six men came from the direction of the upper gate, which faces north, each with his shattering weapon in his hand. And among them was a certain man clothed in linen. Hallelujah. And with a writing case at his loins, attached to his belt, his waist. And they went in and stood beside the bronze altar. And so he comes in. There is this man with amongst six. So there is five men that are coming in with their shattering weapons in their hands. And then among them, I guess the six of them, and then among them there is this one man who is clothed in linen. And saints of God, I don't know about you, but I want to be like the man clothed in linen. I want to be like the one who's got the writing case. He represents the writing of the Lord. It's the testimony of God. It represents the one who is being marked by the Lord, identified of God because of the mark of God in their life. It says, the glory of the Lord God, of the God of Israel, verse 3, went up from the cherub on which it had been to the threshold of the temple. And he called to the man clothed in linen, at whose loins was the writing case. So here's this angel, this cherub of the Lord, that rises up from off of the threshold where it was, and it calls to the man clothed in linen. God is calling to you, saints of God. God is reaching out to you. God wants to use you. He wants you to be the representative of him. He wants you to be able to testify of him, to be the witness or the ambassador that he's called you to be, so that you can do the will of God, so that you can represent him in this world. And so verse 4 says, the Lord says to him, go through the midst of the city, even through the midst of Jerusalem, and put a mark on the foreheads of the men who sigh and groan over all the abominations which are being committed in its midst. I know that you've heard of the mark of the beast, but have you heard of the mark of the Spirit of God? Oh, there's a mark of God, and the mark of God is on the foreheads of the men who sigh and groan. The men who sigh and groan, they're grieving over the condition of society, over what's going on in the world. They realize how the Israelites have departed from the Lord. Even the priests and the Levites were fallen away from God, and they were in this place where they had taken on the mentality of the culture around them. How many people have adapted to the culture around us. How many people in today's day and age that would call themselves Christians, that would identify as the people of God, have a secular mentality, are living their lives according not to the word of God, but according to the laws of the land. Well, the law says it's legal, so I'm doing it. And anything and everything that the law says is okay, we're saying it's okay. And we're adapting. But we have to have ourselves aligned with the law of God. The law of God supersedes the law of men and the law of the culture and the law of this world. And so you and I are called to represent the kingdom of God, the culture of God, the ways of God. And we must stand to represent the kingdom of God. The word of God tells us the way of destruction is broad and that there are many who go down that road. But the way of life and of God is narrow, and that is a narrow road, and there are few who enter it. And I believe that that road is going to be more and more less populated as time goes on. You will find more and more Christian church-going people with the mentality of the world. I pray that you are not allowing the world to influence your way of thinking, and that the word of God is the very thing that is being stirred in your heart and renewed in your mind, so that you are becoming more and more like Christ. That every day you are not forgetting the word of God. No matter how many years go by, 850 years went by, they were forgotten, they were in a lost place. I pray that your lineage and your family and your household is not in a lost condition when Jesus returns, when Christ returns, but that you are holding true to the word of God, that you are passing on the word of God from generation to generation, that your children and your children's children are being trained in righteousness, that they are being suited for representation of the kingdom of God. Suit up, saints of God, and allow the Spirit of God to clothe you in righteousness. Oh, I pray that you are rising up in the Spirit of God. It says that even though or through the midst of Jerusalem, that he put a mark on the foreheads of the men who sigh and groan. Oh, and that they're grieved over these abominations which are being committed in the midst of Israel. But to the others, he said, in my hearing, go through the city after him and strike. Do not let your eye have pity and do not spare. Oh, saints of God, this is a brutal thing. Oh, God comes up. He rises up in judgment, and he dispatches this group of six men. One of the men is marking those who belong to the Lord. These are being marked with God. They're being marked as being identified as those who have the heart of God, and they are grieving over this sinful condition of the culture. And he's identifying these are the people. And he says, everyone else who does not have the heart of God and is not taking on a heavenly perspective of this thing is to be judged. And so he says, don't have any pity or don't even spare them. And so the question becomes, what does it take to recognize our state of affairs and adapt to God's order? What does it take for God to cause you to change and live differently, to put first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and to let all other things fall in their rightful place as God's divine order is established in our lives? What does it take for us to come to a place of repentance? What does it take for us to be reminded or to remember the ways of God and to hold on to the truths of God? What does it take for us to take seriously the importance of training up our children in the ways of the Lord so that when they're old, they will not depart from it? What does it take for us to hold fast the word of life and to stand true of the testimony of God? Oh, saints of God, I pray that you understand how important it is for us to make a stand for the sake of the kingdom of God. Oh, we have to wake up. We have to be people who are rooted and grounded and established, and that we would be faithful unto God, obeying the principles of God and his word. In verse 6, it says, utterly slay old men, young men, maidens, little children, and women, but do not touch any man on whom is the mark, and you shall start from my sanctuary. So they started with the elders who were before the temple. And so judgment begins in the household of God. That's what the scripture says, isn't that right? And so here is a picture of God's judgment. But who was spared? He said, do not touch anyone who has the mark of God. Oh, I pray that you have the mark of God in your life today. I pray that you have the Spirit of the Lord abiding in you and upon you, that the Word of God is radiating within you, that it's burning within you like a fire, and that you are glowing with bright light. The light of God, the light of Christ is shining in you, that you are clothed in linen, and that you are able to represent the kingdom of God. Oh, saints of God, the mark of the Spirit of God needs to be upon your life, needs to be upon you so that you can be among those who God covers, that God spares, that God allows to live and to live according to the righteousness of God. Oh, saints of God, repentance is so critical and important in our lives. We need to change and do things a way that God has called us to do them, to live according to the ways of the Lord. So many churches and places and Christians in our own culture, in our own society, are being watered down in their lives according to the Word of God, according to the ways of God. And we are making compromises in so many different ways, and we're finding ways to find how close to the line can we get without falling over it or crossing over it in some way. But God says, no, pull back. Don't let the enemy try to get you. And it begins with the house of the Lord. Oh, saints of God, don't allow Satan to rule your way of thinking and allow your mentality to be shifted to the world's perspective. Allow God to be established in your heart. Let the Word of God dwell in you richly. Never forget what the Lord has done in your life, His reality, His power and His strength, the fact that He has transformed you, He's redeemed you, He's given you new life. God wants to use you to make the world jealous of what it is to be a child of God. Verse 7 says, he said to them, defile the temple, fill the courts with the slain, go out. Thus they went out, and they struck down the people in the city. And God just wipes out all the people. Doesn't it sound like what happened in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah? Doesn't it sound like the Tower of Babel? Doesn't it sound like the days of Noah? Oh, doesn't it sound like what God has done throughout history? When the people of God begin to misrepresent God and find themselves in the wrong place, doing the wrong thing and adapting to the mentality of this world, oh, God will show up. And Jesus is coming again, the Word of God says. And the Word of God says that he will find the condition of the world like it was in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, like it was in the days of Noah. Oh, my Lord, those are the ways that the world is going to be. It's going back to even before the flood. Good Lord, that's the mentality of man. Why is that even possible? Why? Because the same spirit exists in the world. It is Satan and his demonic works, and he is deceiving many, many people. And the world has said there is no God. And the Bible says there, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Yet the world has turned to idols. The world has turned away from God. They have turned their backs on God. Well, you say, well, I haven't turned to God. I'm not serving idols. People aren't serving idols today. Oh, I can assure you, people are serving idols today. All you have to do is look at people's lives. Every time you put something before what it is that God calls you to do, that is an idol in your life. Oh, saints of God, every time you make an excuse as to why you don't read the Word of God, or why you don't come to church, or why you don't get involved in Bible study and missions, why you don't testify and share your story with your friend, all those reasons, those are all tied to demonic influences in your life. Those are all tied to the effect of the world's view in your life. And that causes you to either have fear about saying something in behalf of the kingdom of God or the word of the Lord, or some reason that you are feeling that you got to do something else rather than spend time in the midst of the fellowship of the saints. There's always an excuse. There's always a reason why you don't have to, or why you can't, or why you didn't. There's always that reason. But know this, it is demonically given to you. Demonically inspired, orchestrated even, so that you find yourself in a position where you can't do it because something else is taking place. And God will raise up these things, and there are those things that will consistently happen again and again and again, and they become idols. They become the thing that you now are serving. It's a part of who you are, your way of thinking, and now you're able to do these things and feel comfortable doing them. You're comfortable not reading the word of God every day. You're comfortable not going to Bible study or prayer meetings. You're comfortable not coming to church to worship in the midst of the sanctuary, at the altar of God, in the midst of the people. And we make up excuses and we manipulate the word of God to justify the fact that we're not doing it. And I tell you, there is a day of judgment coming to the house of God, among the people of God. It will begin. And saints of God, the word of God tells us you don't want to be found in the wrong place when the day of the Lord comes. And the way the scripture puts it, he says he will come as a thief in the night. Hallelujah. God will show up as a thief in the night. I pray that you have the mark of the Spirit of God upon you when the Lord shows up. When God brings forth judgment in the world and in the ways in the midst of the people, it will begin in the house of the Lord. Oh, saints of God. Oh, I don't know about you, but I check myself over and over again, right? You've heard that saying, check yourself before you wreck yourself. Oh, hallelujah. Yes. Oh, Lord God, I say that to the saints of God. Check yourself before you wreck yourself. I pray that you are getting yourself right with God. Align yourself with God. And so we see that there is this judgment that takes place. Verse 8 says, as they were striking the people, and I alone was left. What? Ezekiel was the only one left, he says. And he says, I fell on my face and cried out, saying, alas, Lord God, are you destroying the whole remnant of Israel by pouring out your wrath on Jerusalem? Oh, I bet, wouldn't you have fallen on your face if you this was happening to you? Here he is dangling in the air. He's seeing this whole thing unfold. And all of a sudden, he starts to realize, I'm the only one left. Why? Because God had pulled him up and out of it. And God will lift you out of all of the troubles when you are dressed in linen, when you're clothed in linen, when you are in that place of righteousness, when you're walking with God. He will deliver you. He will enable you to come to a place of rightness and correctness. God gives us all an opportunity to repent and to be transformed and to change. God will always make a way for his saints so that we can be delivered. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, he's liberated his people. He says, then he said to me, the iniquity of the house of Israel and Judah is very, very great. And the land is filled with blood, and the city is full of perversion. For they say, the Lord has forsaken the land, and the Lord does not see. Oh, saints of God, there are a lot of people who think God doesn't see. There are a lot of people who think that God doesn't exist. But let me tell you, the Lord is the Lord, and he is real, and he does exist. There are people who say, well, I don't even believe in God. Well, that is the biggest fool, the word of God says. It is the fool who has said that God doesn't exist. And as a result, here he is. He is saying that the city is filled with perversion. We're living in a day and age where this world is filled with perversion. In fact, they're trying to train children in the ways of perversion now. They want it to be a part of the school curriculum. And they want perversion to be acceptable. They want it to be allowed. It's not just sexual perversion. It's perversion of every type. Everything is being allowed. Everything is all the things that God has raised up. The world is trying to bring it down. They're trying to destroy. They're dismantling the family, changing the meaning of things, of words, and all these things. This is all part of what the cultures of the world will do. this is what it looks like to serve Baal, because that's what Baal worship is. All of these things that we see happening in our culture are all things that took place under Baal worship in the Old Testament. That whole mentality, this whole mindset is coming back. The whole concept of the Asherah. Oh, saints of God, it's just Babylon coming back again. That's why when you get to Revelation, it talks about Babylon, the great harlot of Babylon. Why? Because that spirit is still active in the world. And even though it's not called that in technically in our society today, but what it represented and what it is in our society and is coming. It's the same thing. It's just modern day version of Babylon. And saints of God, if you're not able to see the perspective that God has given us in this world, you will be lost. You will be consumed by the mentality of the world. You will begin to think, well, it's not, I'm going to do my thing. It's coming to you. And it will come to you, and you will need to be able to make a stand. You will need to be able to represent the kingdom of God. The question will be, whom do you serve? Do you serve the Lord God of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Who is the Lord your God in your life? Or are you serving the God of the Amorite, the Jebusite? Are you serving Baal and the Asherah? What is it that you are adapting to? Oh, you may not even understand what that means, but all you have to do is look at our society, because that's what it is. It's all coming back into prominence again. The only difference is, here it is, 2,000-3,000 years later. It's just taken on a different form in modern culture to look modern, but it is not. It is the same evil thing. And so the word of God came to him and it revealed him, and the Lord has shown himself. He says, the Lord has forsaken the land and the Lord does not see. This is what even the priest believed it. The priests and the Levites, the people of God, they weren't even following the law of God anymore, and they were the holders of the word of God, of the law of Moses, and they were practicing Baalism and worshiping false gods and idols in the house of the Lord. And so God brought judgment there. Verse 10 says, but as for me, my eye will have no pity, nor will I spare, but I will bring their conduct upon their heads. Oh, saints of God, God says, don't change and give up the ways of the Lord for the ways of the world. Otherwise, your conduct will come upon your head. God will make sure that you are brought to a place of judgment. That's what God will do if we do not repent. The Lord is coming. The Lord will return. And sometimes we think, well, the Lord may not come back in my lifetime. No, but you will die. You will die. If the Lord tarries, you will die, and you will just go to him instead of him coming to you. So either way, you end up before the Lord. And so we need to be ready for that day. We need to be in that place when we find ourselves. Nobody expects to die, but somebody's going to die tonight. Somebody's going to die tomorrow. People are dying right now. Hallelujah. And so, saints of God, nobody knows when their time is. But I tell you, whenever it happens, you need to be ready. You need to be ready so that your righteous acts can be established in God. Your righteous ways can be established in God. Not just, well, oh, it's not about what's going on in your mind. It's what's your condition of your heart, so that it comes out of your feet and in your hands. Oh, saints of God, the Lord is watching, and he is real, and he is there. He is in the midst of us. Verse 11 says, and behold, the man clothed in linen, at whose loins was the writing case, reported, saying, I have done just as you have commanded me. Wow, what a vision, huh? What a vision is that? Will that shake you up? Will that cause you to get right? I bet you Ezekiel was telling everybody, get right. We got to get right before God. Oh, we've got to get right before the Lord. You need to be in a place of righteousness so that when the man dressed in linen comes, you can receive the right, the mark of God. Oh, saints of God, that's the warning cry of the church today. That is the warning cry of the Word of God, of those who are named by the Spirit of God to be those who are the people of God. The cry of God is to repent, to get yourself together, get your life right, and align your ways, change your ways, adapt your ways, so that you can be sure that you are walking in the righteousness of God. Oh, saints of God, I've had to change my ways along the way. I continue to change my ways. I'm always trying to tweak my ways. I'm sure you're doing the same thing, right? Right? We are not taking this thing lightly. We want to make sure that we are putting God first in our lives and that we are aligning ourselves to the ways of the Lord. And that's why it's so important, because we understand God spares the righteous and he makes a way for the repentant. Oh, hallelujah. Aren't you glad about that? Aren't you glad that God spares the righteous? He said, don't touch anyone who have my mark upon. Oh, I'm looking for the man with linen. Put a mark on my forehead. Put the mark on me so that I can be identified as the people of God. I pray that God has his mark upon you, that the Spirit of the Lord is the mark. We all know about the mark of the beast, right? And the number of his name, you know, but you need the mark of God. Hallelujah. And God wants to spare you. That's the covering. Well, wasn't there a mark on Cain? We were talking about this a little earlier. Wasn't there a mark on Cain? And it was so that he would be spared, so no one would kill him. That's what the mark of God is all about. The mark of God gives you sustained and prolonged life. It lets you be safe from judgment and from that which would hinder or which would even kill or destroy. The mark of God. There are many marks that God established throughout the Word of God. And you and I, we need to be under God's marking so that we can see the hand of God working in our life. The mark of God in the New Testament is the Spirit of God that came upon the believer. And the mark has now become the Spirit in the empowering of God from within. And so the Lord said to him, go throughout the midst of the city, even through the midst of Jerusalem, put a mark on the foreheads of the men who sigh and groan over all the abominations which are being committed in its midst. Oh, I pray, saints of God, are you sighing and groaning today? Oh, my Lord, I'll tell you what, you watch the news and you listen and see what's going on in the culture, in the world around you. If you don't sigh and groan, then you need to get back into the Word of God. You need to come back to the altar. You need to come back to the place of repentance and say, God, Lord, show me from your perspective. Grab me by the back of my head and raise me up so I can have eyes to see and ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. Some of us, we need a wake-up call. We need a wake-up call from God. I've needed a wake-up call from God in my life. God will wake you up. He will shake you up, and he will enable you to see from a heavenly perspective, so that you can see the wheel in the middle of the wheel, right? Ezekiel, he talks about the wheel and the move of the Spirit of God and where the angels go and the beasts with the four faces, with the face of a man and the face of an eagle, the face of a lion, all right? And he's got all these things going on in the Spirit of God. It's talking about the move of the Spirit. And saints of God, there is a move of the Spirit in the world today, in life today. I pray that you are experiencing the move of God, the move of the Spirit in your life, that you are sighing and groaning over the abominations that are being committed in our society, in our community. But we are persevering in God. In Psalm 132:16, the psalmist says, her priests also I will clothe with salvation, and her godly ones I will sing aloud for joy. Oh, saints of God, if you're godly, you will sing aloud for joy because you're clothed with salvation. Do you have salvation? I tell you, when you realize God says, that one's got the mark of God on him, you pass over him. Boy, that'll make you sing with salvation. You say, God, hallelujah, I've been spared. I have been saved. And you ought to be rejoicing and singing aloud for joy. Hallelujah. Oh, are you really happy? Are you really grateful? Are you really joyful? I I tell you, I'd be singing louder than you. Forget it. I am singing louder than you. Hallelujah. Oh, let me tell you something. Why? Because I know what God has spared me from. I know what God has done in my life. I am thankful. I am grateful. I am not forgetting how God has redeemed me, how he has delivered me, how he set me free. I hope you're not forgetting. I tell you, the more you realize God is working for you and in your behalf, the more you will rejoice in God. The more you will sing aloud in God. Oh, it says in Proverbs 31:22, the Proverbs woman says, she says that she was making coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Purple represents royalty of godliness. And saints of God, the fine linen represents righteousness, as we're talking about today. And I pray that you have on the robe of righteousness, that you're dressed in fine linen, that you are dressed in godly apparel, that you have the righteousness of God working in your life. You are being renewed and revived in the Spirit of the Lord, and God being glorified in every aspect of your life. Revelation 19, 8 says, it was given to her to clothe herself in fine linen, bright and clean. For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Oh, saints of God, I pray that you're clothing yourself. You see, nobody's going to dress you. You're grown. You're grown. Nobody's going to dress you. You have to dress yourself. Saints of God, we have to learn how to dress ourselves in fine linen. We have to put on the righteousness of God. We have to allow, oh, you see people, they're moping around. That's because they're thinking about all the things that they've done wrong or the things that aren't going right in their lives, all the problems that go on. That's what brings you down. That's pretty much the only thing bringing you down. But when you remember what God has done for you, when you change the way you're thinking and start thinking about the day, the hour, the time, the month, God, I remember when God made me his own and he loved me. And you go back to that feeling of how you felt when the Lord came into your life and how you reflect on how God transformed you, how he saved you, how he delivered you. You start thinking about that. You go back. Don't let the devil rob you of your memory, of your ability to understand the magnitude of what God has done and the mark that is upon your life. God has established us as his people. You and I, we need to be clothed. That's why in Matthew 27:59, it says that when Jesus was died on the cross, that Joseph took the body and he wrapped it in clean linen cloth. Hallelujah. Why? Because Jesus had lived a life of righteousness. Jesus was the righteous of God. And so he was wrapped in the clean linen to represent who he was. He was properly dressed for who he was. I pray that you are dressed in proper attire today. I pray that you are in that place where you have the clean linen of God so God can use you as a person with the writing tablet on their belt of righteousness so that you can go and mark and bring life to people. That's our role. That's our responsibility. We're to go into our families, into our households, into our workplaces, and we're to testify of the truths of God, of the things of God. When opportunity comes, we're to make a stand for the sake of righteousness and not allow. Standing doesn't mean that you have to try to make somebody else put on righteousness. That's not what God is saying. What God is saying, you have to keep somebody from taking righteousness from you so that you aren't robbed of your clean linen. So God is saying, you got to learn how to hold on to what you already have so that you can represent the kingdom of God. And you and I, we have to be the witnesses that God has called us to be. And that's why he tells Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:21, therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from these things, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful to the master, prepared for every good work. Oh, saints of God, don't underestimate what God is doing in your life. He has won you, he's building you up, and he's equipping you for the sake of the work of the kingdom of God. In Ezekiel 9:11, it says, the man clothed in linen, at whose loins was the writing case reported, I have done just as you have commanded me. Is that your testimony today? Is that who you are today in Christ? Have you done just what the Lord has commanded you? I know you have, or you wouldn't be here right now. Hallelujah. So you ought to be rejoicing with a loud voice. You ought to be shouting unto God with the voice of victory, knowing that He is able to sustain you. Jesus is victorious. He has brought victory into all of our lives. He was wrapped in fine linen, and He left it behind to show that He was no longer in bondage to it. But now He has been made free, seated at the right hand of the Father in the place of the righteousness of God. He has been the example for us. We're clothed in linen, saints of God. We are the righteousness of God when we walk in the ways of God, according to the Word of God, in the power of the Spirit of God, under the anointing of God, as we've been appointed to be suited up as we're clothed in linen to represent the kingdom of God. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Sing that song. Come on.
Take whatever you desire. Oh, Lord, here's my life. Oh, I want to be tried by fire. Purified. You take whatever you desire. Lord, here's my life. Oh, I want to be tried by fire. Purified. You take whatever you desire. Lord, here's my life.
You have given your life over to Christ. When you belong to the Lord, He puts His mark on you. Jesus said, all that the Father has given me, I have lost none. If you belong to the Lord, He's not going to lose you. God will grab you by the back of your head, and He will hold you. You'll be holding on, but God will have you. And He will show you what you need to see. He will reveal to you what you need to see so that you can make the necessary changes in your life in order to be ready for things to come. I don't know about you, but the Lord has grabbed me by the back of my neck. He couldn't grab me by the back of my hair, but he just grabbed you by your head. He can palm your head like a basketball, pick you up. That's what the Lord, I guess that's what He had to do to me. And he let me see, and He said, man, you got to get things together. And I'm telling you, we all have to get things together. And I'm sure God is revealing things to you as you go through your life. We all make mistakes. We all fall short of the glory of God. We all find ourselves doing things that are not exactly the way God would do them. And so we have to come into alignment. And when we come into alignment, God says, that's being clothed in linen. You're being moved into righteous attire. And God says, I'm going to make you the righteousness of God. And God has a way of, behold, He said, I have made all things new. God, He's not just doing it one time, but God is making things new over and over again. He is constantly restoring and making us new. I pray that you're experiencing the newness of God. You are God's appointed for such a time as this. You are alive for a reason. You live here for a reason. You're in the place that you are for a reason. So suit up, saints of God. Let's be clothed in linen and allow the Spirit of God to use us, because that's who we are in Christ. And that is what God is using us to accomplish, to go into the world to make disciples. Let us obey the word of the Lord. Let us do all that He has called us to do. Father, we thank You for Your word today, and we ask You, oh God, that You would manifest Yourself in the midst of our lives, that You would be glorified in all these things. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, amen, amen, and amen. Hallelujah. Come on.